The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Mark Report. It's February the 11th, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing in Normal, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. And don't forget that just after the bottom of the hour, the folks at Chesapeake Energy will discuss the global agricultural weather forecast with us. It all happens on this Monday edition of WILL AM 580's Closing Market Report.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby March wheat at $10.40, down 45 for the day. July futures at $9.79, down 4.5 on the afternoon. Taking a look at the numbers at the Minneapolis Grain Exchange on the afternoon. Well, we don't have those up at the moment, but we do have the numbers from Chicago. For the corn pit, the March contract at $5.03.5, down 4.5 for the day. May futures at $5.16.75, down 4.25, and July at $5.27.5, down 4 cents. December corn at $5.25.25, down 4.75. March soybean futures $13.26, down 13. The May down 13 at $13.45.5, and July at $13.54.5, down 13.5 cents. November soybeans $12.82, down 3 for the day. March bean meal futures $6 lower at $3.55.50. March bean oil down 12 at $55.30. Feeder cattle at the CME Group, 92.17.5, down 2.5 cents. April futures unchanged at 95.10. March feeder cattle at 105.90, 87.5 cents higher. April futures at 110.50, up a dollar and a nickel. February lean hogs, 57.85, down 22.5 cents on the afternoon. Outside markets, March crude oil at 93.43, a dollar 66 higher at this hour. The CRB index at 377.69 is 202 higher, and the dollar at 76.578 is down 0.076. The Dow Jones Industrial Average about 34 points higher at 12,217 for the afternoon.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Joining us now to take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade and the Mercantile Exchange is Kurt Kimmel of Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, what a day. And maybe we should not start with the Board of Trade or the Kansas City Board of Trade, but the Minneapolis Grain Exchange were late on Friday. We were told not only from the exchange, Minneapolis Grain Exchange, but Kansas City and Chicago, they would allow 60-cent limit moves, and boy, did they trade them in some of those months. Of course, the nearby contract, the March wheat at the Minneapolis Grain Exchange for the spring wheat, up the 60-cent limit, locked there all day, which means there'll be a 90-cent trading range tomorrow.
Well, the way I understand it, it had to be 2 months that locked up, so there's still some clarification to be on that. And the May was up 59.75. Now, whether that's close enough or not, we'll see. But, yes, it was strong all night long, and then the back ends did trade in the Minneapolis. There was some activity, though, at around the 17.30 level, so basically – as far as the offers were, and we'd have to basically rally another $1.30 to get there. So we're receiving some relief there. But if you look at the Kansas City and the Chicago, there was a $1.20 trading range in the Kansas City and a $1.13 trading range in the March. Both those contracts were limit up in the overnight trade, of course, sold off here as we went into today's close. Part of that was on ideas that fund rolling. They were long the March, coming out of those positions and reestablish some positions in the deferred contracts. But, two, we're starting to see maybe a little bit negative news show up. Talk about French wheat acres up 4.1% from last year. They came out a little higher number than last month. The Ukrainian wheat crop about 19.5 million metric tons versus 13.9 last year. So the news sort of came in to maybe support the idea of some type of correction here over the near term time.
When you look at this as a process, do you think we can settle it in 3 days? I mean, if you're looking at, what would you say, it was about $1.30 or $1.40 higher, is that right?
Yeah, I think it's going to take several days yet. The concern is the March contract. As we go towards in through February in here, we're going to be in the delivery process in probably about no time when you look at the calendar, but that's where the tightness is, and that's where the concern is. With expanded limits here, 60 cents, I imagine we'll probably start off, 60 cents higher here again. When you look at the cash market in general, what we've heard is that if you're a farmer, you are fortunate to have a little wheat left. They are offering $1.40, $1.50 above the market, trying to generate some cash wheat in that area. So the Minneapolis is still a concern. Obviously, the funds are not long a whole lot of it and wanting to roll it right at the moment here. Otherwise, we would have seen some trade take place here and a little bit of the easing of the buying pressure as they sell their March and roll into another month. We got to remember these markets are thinly trading in Minneapolis compared to Chicago and even in Kansas City in general. So we still got some more room to go to the upside yet in Minneapolis wheat.
On the subject of the funds, I heard just a whisper that they were really into the marketplace in a big way throughout last week, maybe with twice as much money as they normally are on any given week. Did you see that?
The fund positions interest has come up forward here. The overall activity was aggressive there last week. Today, the fund sold in general. The general fund sold about 4,000 to 5,000 contracts of wheat, 5,000 contracts of corn, and in the beans, they were sellers of 3,000 contracts there. So, when it's all said and done, the fund activity does add up. They've been seeing more investment money come into the marketplace. When you look at the overall large position they have, they're still a large holder of longs in general. So they've got a massive amount of long futures to manage in through here. And at any point in time, when they want to start printing profit on this stuff or exiting the long position, you're going to see these 50 cent down in corn and these $1.50 breaks in beans like we saw here just a few weeks ago. What we're seeing is when the funds are not buying and they turn slight sellers, there's not a whole lot of paper underneath the market to buy, and that's why we get these big collapses in here. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're sort of wondering how in the world are we going to come out of these long positions, because whenever they have been sellers and there's no been buyers in there, that's when we've seen these big collapses in here. So if they would have a strong sell signal and get into a position where they need or supposed to have to sell a huge amount, it's going to be awful hard to find any buyers. Perfect example is today is in the wheat in the Chicago and Kansas City. They were sellers here today as they roll on out, so that front end really collapsed. So it's going to be quite interesting as we get down the road here where they've got to do more contracts than they've done here in the last few weeks.
Do you think that the marketplace in Chicago has adequately unhooked from the Minneapolis Grain Exchange at this point? I know the Grain Exchange didn't dramatically pull it higher, but are you satisfied that the two are unhooked and whatever happens in Minneapolis, that Chicago won't be nearly as impacted in the next couple of weeks as maybe some had thought it might?
We feel so. There's a lot of motion and hype there last week where just anything had to do with agriculture grain was being bought on fears this would just keep going. But with the way the market traded overnight and the way the grains closed here today, it's sort of clearly doing its own thing now. I think the trade realizes the Minneapolis is sort of Minneapolis and there can be some spillover here over the short time, but I think we sort of stepped aside from here. Also, too, the other commodity that the grains have been tied to and sort of taken a backseat to or sort of divorced itself from is the energy market, too, where we've seen some wild swings in the energies up and down both. And in fact, the grains have moved opposite of the energy in through here, too. So short term, the trade might be focusing on day-to-day fundamental news of each individual grain and also a technical picture, too, Todd.
How do you see the corn market trading over the next week?
Consolidation. We feel we had some pretty good highs established there last week with some of that technical reversal action. The market was overbought. We feel that the market's sort of backing and filling and consolidating. We would view last Wednesday's and Thursday's lows as pretty major support in the corn and beans, and we wouldn't be afraid to say we'll probably be stuck in a trading range with last week's lows being real good support and last week's highs being pretty good resistance until the market gets some fresh news to trade on.
What are you suggesting producers do at this point? Anything that they ought to be making in terms of new cash sales, preparing themselves for crop insurance? What kinds of things should be happening?
Well, probably the best advice is sort of sit down and look at your own particular situation, because everybody's a little bit different, and do what you're comfortable doing, because we feel doing nothing could be a little bit of a concern, because if you don't have some type of plan or downside protection, what we're fearful of is corn could break a dollar and a half and beans $3, and a guy would panic and sell for low, and then we could see that break and sell, and all of a sudden you come back on some weather and get caught in a bad situation. What we'd be inclined to do would be to look at some of these crop insurance programs, see if it fits your program. If not, we still believe the simplest thing to do is get some put option strategies on to sort of put a floor under you, and it still leaves your upside open on the cash grain scenario. If you're one that's pretty well sold up, and been aggressive giving cash, we would be inclined to maybe look for a break here in the next 2 weeks to replace some cash sales. We're starting to see maybe this corn acreage estimate acres might be a little lower than what they're looking at. We're hearing that some of these guys that's been 80% corns cutting back to maybe 60% corn or 70% corn. Also, too, lots more confirmation that you can buy a good variety of corn. There's plenty of corn seed around, whereas, as you know, bean sales have been brisk. And it's kind of hard to secure good seed there. So we wouldn't be surprised maybe at the end of March this corn acreage number could be a lot lower than what the trade's looking for and the bean acreage number a lot higher than what the trade's looking at.
Anything else to add before we let you go?
Well, it's a dynamic market. I mean, it's one of these markets we've dreamt about for the last 25 years, and here we are. It's quite a roller coaster. It's going to be quite an emotional trade in here. We've been receiving a lot of phone calls on ideas on what to do on marketing and trading ideas. We appreciate that and look forward to answering these calls and work with you one-on-one, Todd.
Thank you much. We appreciate it.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Grainfield Marketing out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon. At the bottom of the hour, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois, about the agricultural weather forecast. Here's what the two-state region looks like for this evening and this afternoon across Illinois and Indiana. Snow advisories are in effect right now in northern and in portions of central Illinois and in west-central Indiana this afternoon and until tomorrow afternoon. A winter weather advisory for south central and southeastern Illinois this afternoon through tomorrow morning. And a winter storm watch has been issued for northeastern Indiana for this evening through tomorrow evening. A winter storm warning is in effect for southern Illinois from this afternoon through tomorrow morning and in southern and east central Indiana tomorrow. Tonight, across the two-state region, our own folks here, Mike Sola, says in northern and central sections it'll be cloudy, some snow, heavy at times in northern and southern sections. In the south, cloudy with freezing rain and snow. Lows will range from 6 in northwestern Illinois to 26 in the far south tomorrow. In the western parts of Illinois, snow ending and then becoming partly sunny. In northeastern and eastern Illinois, snow, showers tapering to flurries early. In the southern part of Illinois, cloudy, some snow mixed with rain at times. in northern and central Indiana, cloudy with snow. In southern Indiana, cloudy with freezing rain and snow. Highs will range from 15 in northwestern Illinois to 36 in the southern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow, wind speeds at about 10 to 20 miles an hour will produce wind chill values well below zero in the north and cause some blowing and drifting snow in central Illinois. Excessively wet field conditions will continue in most areas, especially across northern Indiana, and flood conditions will persist in low-lying areas and the river valleys.
Support for WILL is provided by Risk Management Commodities, presenting an agricultural marketing and planning meeting on Monday, February 11th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Johannic Civic Center in Kokomo, Indiana. More information is available at 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is WILL Urbana. It is a broadcasting service of the College of Communications here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find most of our daily ag programming, along with a way to subscribe to our weekend newsletter. That one comes to you absolutely free. It's all at willag.org. Our website's been redesigned. It should be much, much easier to use. In just a few moments, we'll talk with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County about the cash grain market.
Service to many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or 800-262-7333.
Muse of the Andersons now joins us to take a look at what's been happening in the world of the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Wyatt.
Afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about basis levels here in East Central Illinois to begin with.
Basis levels remain weak. No changes here at the Andersons today, but into last week, things faded again, and it seems like that's the consensus in this area. There's a lot of grain in the bins. It is moving, but the end users are not paying up for it. Keeping their inventories low to try to mitigate the interest cost of carrying a lot of grain.
And as you talk to producers, are they happy with the levels? Are they scared about what's happening in Minneapolis? What kinds of questions are they asking you?
Yeah, the folks that watch basis closely are definitely upset after seeing stronger basis levels in past. I'd say the majority of people are very happy to have such good flat price grain. A wider basis doesn't feel nearly as bad today with higher price levels, and as a percent of contract value, it's remaining fairly consistent. But there are some people concerned about what's going on in Minneapolis, and we saw a wild day in the wheat pit today, so it'll be interesting to see how the rest of this week shakes out.
And we had quite a conversation during Commodity Week over Friday afternoon. You had some good information that the trade would be at 60 cents today. Your expectations that it will take, three? Can we get it all out of the system in the five trading days this week, or will it take longer?
Given where the options were trading today, the Minneapolis looks like it will actually be trading on the futures market by the end of the week, looking for Wednesday or Thursday. If it behaves anything like the Chicago market has, we may see that turnaround quicker.
And what are your expectations? Once we get everybody settled out in Chicago, how quickly might the spring wheat drop, and how far do you think it'll drop?
Well, it's tough to say how much speculation is behind this, considering the basis levels remain so strong. For example, in Illinois, basis levels are weak on the soft red wheat, but the Minneapolis wheat is truly demand-driven, meaning today the basis levels are still positive numbers. Talked to one producer on the North Dakota border who's talking about $1.40 over for wheat right now. That's cash. So to me, it tells me the demand is still there. The high-protein wheat is still very valuable, and this really is a protein problem. And I can't say that how fast it will deflate. I can say that it still feels like the producers will react and plant the wheat this spring rather than planting corn, because even if we did drop, you know, let's say $2-3 on this, we're still talking wheat in the teens, if you will. It doesn't have nearly the ring that beans in the teens do, but you know, the last trade on July Minneapolis wheat, 12.25 versus $16 in the nearby. There's quite an inverse we're going to have to chew through. We'll see how that brings things out. My bias is the inverse in the Chicago wheat brings lots of deliveries out of elevator stocks, and we should hopefully go to a carry before this is over. But if we can get through this spring-summer time frame on the Minneapolis and carry an inverse, that's going to let us know that there's a very true demand problem versus the supply we have today.
I've heard, and I just want to check to see whether you have or not, that there has been some movement on the part of larger seed companies to try to convince producers in Minnesota to plant corn.
Correct.
This year. Tell me what you're hearing.
The seed companies are coming out with deals that are actually better than their early payment discounts in that area. So that's telling us that the producers there have opted for other crops. Wheat sounds like a very reasonable one, or soybeans. If you remember how dry they were for a good part of the summer, their yields were down considerably versus where they've been over the past few years. So anytime you come out of a corn year where yields were not nearly as good as what you expect, especially while wheat is at historical highs, it certainly makes it attractive.
Do you think it's that the seed companies just have a lot of short-day corn that they need to get in the ground, I suppose, or that there's something else afoot there?
Well, I think there's probably a lot of extra seed production. I know this past year in this area, and also we have elevators in Michigan who actually lost grains to the seed companies because that's grain that doesn't come across the commercial scales. It is a situation where the seed companies have done a very good job about reacting to the demand and increased acres. I know last year everyone was scrambling for corn because we planted so much more versus what people had expected, and I think the seed companies are doing their duty to make sure that there's plenty of seed out there right now. I just think that people are unsure about what to plant in the marginal areas, and if they didn't get their anhydrous on or whatever nitrogen product they apply, it's going to be tough, especially with the amount of rainfall we've seen recently. I know we've got a lot of time, but we come into spring and it's wet. It's not going to be very attractive to put on the nitrogen.
And what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn at the Andersons, $4.84. Fall delivery is $4.82. Cash soybeans, $12.70. Fall delivery, $12.12. July wheat, $9.09.
We appreciate you being with us, Wyatt.
Thank you.
Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Monday afternoon to take a look at the cash grain market. In just about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. Your regional newscast comes up next. Don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org.
This is at AM 580 News. I'm Tom Rogers. Autopsies are planned for two men who were killed in a weekend accident at an Archer Daniels Midland corn processing plant in Decatur. ADM says the accident happened when a fire broke out in an air handling unit at the corn processing plant Sunday night. Macon County's coroner identifies the two men as 46-year-old Jeffrey Miller and 55-year-old Charles Newgard from Decatur. Coroner Michael Day says the two apparently died of inhalation-related injuries. The Clinton nuclear power station is down as officials try to track down the source of a problem that triggered the shutdown over the weekend. Exelon Nuclear says Clinton's reactor was shut down manually when a recirculation pump tripped late last night. The company says the incident does not pose a safety risk, but there's no estimate on when the plant will resume generating. Clinton recently went back online after scheduled refueling and maintenance. A water leak made a mess at the Statehouse today in Springfield. A leaking sprinkler line at the Illinois Capitol building this morning damaged parts of three floors on the building's north side and has forced some employees to relocate. City officials in Pontiac and Watsika are working on their appeal for aid from the federal government. The Federal Emergency Management Agency denied a disaster declaration last week to both Livingston and Iroquois counties for last month's flooding. Both counties are now working to appeal the decision. Pontiac Mayor Scott McCoy says the city will do its own detailed assessments. The city will visit affected residents to gather information and encourage others to call with their own information. McCoy says they have 7 days to complete their assessment to help the state appeal within the 30-day deadline. The debate over legalized gambling has dragged on for more than two decades in the Indiana legislature. This year, the focus is on a bill that would allow bars and taverns to allow pull tabs and other low-stakes paper gambling. Supporters say many bars and taverns are suffering in Indiana, and allowing them to offer more non-electronic gambling games will help them compete for customers. Opponents, though, say the bill is just the latest sign that Indiana is addicted to gambling and the tax revenue that it generates. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason, AM 580 Agriculture. This is WILL Urbana. Joining us now to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather is John Davis of Chesapeake Energy out of Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, John.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the weather here in the Midwest. Looks like we're ready for another ride.
That's one way to put it, I suppose. But we do have another kind of snow system moving through over the next couple of days. We'll have quite varying amounts across areas of the Midwest. Very heavy snowfall here today in far southern Illinois and southern Indiana. And then late tonight and tomorrow, more of kind of a lighter band of snow moving across the rest of the Midwest. So some areas get as much as 8 or 10 inches near the Ohio Valley. Some areas get just a couple of inches across the remainder of the Midwest. But certainly the wintry weather does continue.
What kind of weather conditions do you see in other parts of the world?
Well, from a standpoint of things going on right now, we continue to have a situation where in the western areas of the Plains hardwood and winter wheat belt, no sign of any kind of significant precip, and that dryness issue continues to be an ongoing problem there. In South America, for their corn and soybeans across Brazil and Argentina, without any real ridging taking place across either area over the next 10 days, certainly nothing terribly threatening, and with the big rains that we've seen in Argentina over the past 6 days, and an increased chance of rain over the next week in Brazil. Things across South America right now are in pretty good shape, and no further problems such as what occurred with the corn crop during January across Argentina. The only other item of note is in the FSU and Russia, where we expect very frigid temperatures over the next 3 to 4 days, and with limited snow cover across the region, we likely will get some winter kill damage to their winter wheat crops across those areas of the former Soviet Union.
And how about China?
From a China standpoint, the dryness continues across the northern portion of China, but at this time of year, that is climatically a normal situation across the area. Certainly nothing to get terribly concerned about right now. Certainly the cold weather and some of the storms that we've seen here recently have taken its toll on some of the winter wheat and winter rapeseed across those locales here. But it looks like they are moderating, and temperatures will be warming up as we go through the next week or two.
Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
That's pretty much it, Todd.
All right. Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
John Davis is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. It happens on Monday afternoons.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Kathy Ferguson in Morris at 815-941-3758. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
And that is this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Be sure to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find most of the daily ag programming. You can download it as an MP3 file. Pick it up as a podcast. I'm Todd Gleason. Have a good afternoon.